From her seat in the sanctuary of the Church of the Good Shepherd, Anna Jane Hudgens wondered if there had ever been a more flawless day for a wedding. Spring had arrived spectacularly early in Pasco, North Carolina, only the first week in April, yet the dogwoods and azaleas were already burst into bloom, and the weeping cherry trees lining the walkway to the church trailed fingertips of pale pink onto a blue and white carpet of violets and alyssum. It was as if the bride, the equally flawless Celia Wakefield, had somehow managed to will perfect weather. Or perhaps she'd specified blue skies and color-coordinated bursts of blooms in one of her famously precise memos. If anybody could do that, Anna Jane mused, it would be Celia. Could there be a more beautiful setting? Baylisses had been getting married at the Church of the Good Shepherd for nearly 200 years, not in this grand sanctuary, of course. The original church was a quaint, stoop-shouldered gray granite affair with uneven oak floors, a single Gothic arched leaded glass window above the altar, and two rows of 10 primitively wrought pine pews built by black laborers from the casket factory in Moore County, 20 minutes down the road. Anna Jane could remember sitting beside her best friend, Pokey, in the Bayless family pew after countless Saturday night sleepovers, back when they were both still in pigtails. By then, Pokey's grandmother had already started her slow descent into senility, although Anna Jane had not known that. Miss Pauline, for whom Pokey had been named, seldom spoke, but she was content to sit in church on Sunday mornings and smile and nod to the hymns, dabbing at her cataract-clouded blue eyes with her ever-present handkerchief and patting Anna Jane's hand. "She thinks you're me," Pokey would whisper, giggling at her grandmother's confusion and grimacing and holding her nose when Miss Pauline passed gas, which she did frequently. When the new Church of the Good Shepherd was built in the early 90s, with reproduction Tiffany stained glass windows, solid cherry pews, and a custom-built German pipe organ, the old church was renamed the Woodrow Memorial Chapel in memory of Pauline Woodrow, who died in her sleep the year Pokey and Anna Jane turned 14. Anna Jane's own wedding had been held in the chapel, the one concession her new in-laws made to what they considered Anna Jane's quaint ideas. Since she'd paid for the wedding herself, she'd insisted on having an intimate affair, just family and close friends, fewer than 40 people, with Pokey as her only attendant. It had rained the November evening of her nuptials, and at the time she'd considered it wildly romantic that the loud thrum of the rain on the church's tin roof threatened to drown out the wedding march played on the chapel's original wheezy pump organ. Had it been only 5 years ago? Sometimes she wasn't sure any of it had really happened at all, that it wasn't something she just remembered from a long-ago dream. Today's affair was nothing like Anna Jane's modest wedding. The sanctuary was at capacity, beyond capacity, if you went by the county fire code, which said the church could hold 500 people. It seemed to Anna Jane that every living person who had ever known or done business with the Bayless family, or even just sipped a bottle of their Quixie cherry soft drink, had crammed themselves into one of the polished wooden pews beneath the soaring, exposed rafters of the imposing Episcopal church. Anna Jane felt her eyelids droop now. It was too warm in the church, and the scent of lilies and roses banking everything that didn't move was overpowering. She'd had almost no sleep the night before, and not much more sleep the night before that. And yes, she'd had herself a good stiff drink, Quixie and bourbon on the rocks, back at the house, after she'd finished dressing and before she'd left for the church. She closed her eyes, just for a moment, felt her chin droop to her chest, and the next moment, she felt a sharp elbow dig into her ribs. Pokey had managed to wedge herself into the pew. "Wake up and slide over," she ordered. Anna Jane's eyes flew open, and she looked up, just in time to see Sally Bayless, seated in the front row, two pews ahead of them, turn and shoot Pokey a stern look of warning. Sally's gleaming auburn hair shone in the candlelit church. She was 64, but still had the dewy complexion, sparkling brown eyes, and slender figure of a woman 20 years younger. Now those eyes narrowed as they took in Pokey's tardy and disheveled appearance. Pokey gave her mother a grin and a finger wave, and Sally's head swiveled back around, eyes front, head held high, the Bayless pearls, a double strand, clasped firmly around her neck. Anna Jane offered an apologetic smile to the elderly woman to her right. The woman frowned, but begrudgingly inched aside to allow the new arrival to be seated. As usual, Pokey Bayless Riggs took no notice of the stir she'd caused. She'd been causing a stir nearly every day of her 35 years, and today, her brother's wedding day, was no different.